that.
Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Wednesday morning, New York City, midweek. Coming live from the Built for Tubbs studio, it is the Boomer and Geo program on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Geo are out this week on vacation. So it's myself and Joe Beningo for another 4 hours. We've got a lot to get to this morning. We will talk about the Mets and how confusing of a team as they are. We will talk about the Yankees, who will have two on the docket today. We'll get to a near no-hitter. We'll get to the football cams. We had some violent weather in New York. You had earthquakes in Los Angeles. Just another day in paradise. Morning, Joe. How are you?
Paradise. That's what I say every
paradise.
Day.
Paradise. Yeah. It was something yesterday.
Another day in paradise.
I'm telling you, so I took my younger son out. We played nine holes. And I saw the weather forecast.
Right.
And we'll get to the Mets in just a moment. And I'm thinking, you know, I think I was supposed to play golf with Chris Corso from Rutgers yesterday. And I decided, you know what, there's no way we're getting 18 in. So we canceled that. But I took my son. I'm going to get nine in. So he goes, beautiful out when we get there. It's 92 degrees. There wasn't, I don't want to say there wasn't a cloud in the sky, but it wasn't terrible.
It was nice.
It was nice.
It was nice.
Everything was good. We get to the fifth hole, and all of a sudden, I see the black clouds. Sixth hole, it's getting darker. Seventh hole, the first drips and drabs of rain start coming down, a little sprinkled. By the eighth hole, now it's raining. By nine, there are chunks of water coming down. And by the ninth green, I'm like, let's go. They sounded the horn, and we're running to the car. Joe, the
nothing
thunder.
Worse than when you're playing golf and that freaking horn goes off.
Yeah, oh, it's, well.
Oh, my God.
Except for the fact that I was on the ninth green and we were leaving anyway.
Well,
but,
yeah,
but
that's,
you're right.
Then it's okay.
The violent nature of the thunder that we heard yesterday, at least by me. I don't, Eddie, you're not far from me. Did you get it, too?
Oh, yeah.
They sounded like explosions. Oh, it was almost jarring. And I would say for me, I know it was different for you. You got it later.
Yeah, we did.
From 3:30 all the way until, I mean, I woke up at one point at like 9 p.m. from a big thing of thunder. It was intense. Like, it was as advertised yesterday.
Yeah.
So, and I know you blew it because you could have played and instead you ended up by the pool all
day.
But it was pretty wild.
I was concerned that what happened to you was going to happen to me.
Man.
So, when I got home, I told Terry, I said, look, it's freaking beautiful out. I said, let's see if we can play. So she saw, you know, we got a nice nine-hole course, Orchard Hills, one of the county courses by us in Paramus. I only wanted to play nine. And she could get like a 1:10 tee time, she said. But I was a little worried because it's showing like by 3 o'clock. Are you kidding me? We didn't get any rain until at least, it had to be like 6:30.
Yeah, you got it a few hours later than we did.
I was at the pool till like 4:30, and it was beautiful, you know?
And I was very impressed when I heard, because I get in the car, whatever time it was, 3:30, that the Yankees had already canceled the game because that forecast was brutal.
Yes.
So they do the right thing. They'll play too. So with that said, and we will get to them in a moment as well.
By the way, I'm glad I missed the Met game. I went to bed about 7 o'clock.
That's where we're going to go because I did see a good portion of this morning when I came in on MLB.tv.
Right. I tried to watch the replay now so I can see the replay here.
You
on
don't
SNY.
Want to watch the replay. And here's,
well, I know.
Here's what I said to you yesterday. And I know it's like a broken record, but that's what this team is to me. I don't know what they are. So you go into a place in Colorado.
Right.
Now, they still can win the series. I'm not saying that the series is over and it's a complete failure, but you're playing another team that is 30 games under 500. 30 games under 500. And the team that is getting the big two out base hits with runners in scoring position is the crappy team that's 30 games under 500. I'll give you a couple of situations here.
Go ahead.
Where from the game
the
that
guys,
I jotted down.
What I saw, the guys who drove runs in were Nimmo and Bader, right?
That's correct. And they almost had, Torrens had a ground ball over the third base bag that I forget who the third baseman is, but he made a really nice play on the ball and the throw across the diamond. Otherwise, the Mets would have been set up in that situation with bases loaded and either no out or one out. I forget. They wound up getting the hit right after they get the runs in, but I think that was the Bader two-run single. That having been said, I'll give you a couple of scenarios here, okay? You've got the Mets score those two runs that I'm just referencing. Before you can even...
So wait a minute, so they were ahead in this game to make?
Yeah, they go ahead.
Up 2-0, you're
correct.
Telling me.
Okay. Top of the second, they score two runs. Could have been more, but again, the third baseman makes a nice play.
Okay. Right. And who got the big hit there? Bader?
That was Bader. That was the Bader two-run single.
Right.
So top two, you score two runs, you feel good about yourself. You just beat St. Louis. Okay, great. Severino, who had a really good first inning, goes out there in the bottom of the second and gets the first guy out. 0-2 pitch on the next guy, hit by pitch. Okay, fine.
Oh, that makes me delirious.
Colorado then gets a base hit.
Right.
You think you're going to have second and third and one out, except for the fact that Bader has a bad throw into the infield. Vientos backing up the throw, kind of, I don't know if he missed it.
What, or, he lay it like or something like that?
Something like that. And he winds up getting to the ball before the dugout. And then as he goes to makes the transfer, the ball falls out of his glove and his hand and then hits the netting right in front of the dugout. All right, guy on third comes home to score.
Oh, God.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. Okay, fine. So then that happens. So be it. And that was the end.
So what is it, 2-1 now?
So it's 2-1.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about with the two-out stuff.
Right.
You got the bottom of the fourth inning. The Mets are still up 2-1, I believe it is. Elias Diaz comes up with two outs, RBI double to right. Still two outs, Jake Cave, 2-run homer.
Ugh.
This is the play here. So, you know what? It's funny.
Oh,
from that angle, Vientos wasn't even really backing it up.
I'm watching the replay here. Did Alonso lead off last night?
No, he was back to the four spot.
Oh, okay, because I guess they jumped to the second inning.
Back to the four spot.
Okay.
But the two-out hits Diaz and Cave. The double and the home run puts Colorado ahead 4-2. All right, you're not thrilled. Nimmo comes back in the fifth, makes it 4-3 with an RBI single. Great.
Right.
Here we go. They score the run right back to the bottom of the fifth. Brendan Rodgers, a two-out RBI double off Severino. It's like he couldn't get that out pitch. In these two big spots.
He hasn't been good. Severino lately, I mean, look, it's five runs. I know you mentioned he wasn't as bad as the numbers say. I heard Mendoza say it as well on the radio this morning. But, I mean, come on, he hasn't been good lately, Severino.
I agree. And it was the fact that he couldn't get out of these innings. Because, if you watched him in certain spots last night, he was throwing 98.
Right, right.
He had command in spots. Other times he didn't when he had the 0-2 hit by pitch. Hits the batter. But then here's where this will drive you nuts. So after you get the two-out RBI double from Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. And where are we now? 4-2?
That's bottom five. Puts them up 5-3.
5-3, okay.
Let's
right,
go to
right.
the sixth.
Right.
The Mets have first and third, one out. And Jesse Winker just, I mean, you could not have rolled the ball out better
for
to
a
the second
play.
Baseman for an inning-ending double play. It's still 5-3. Top of the seventh, J.D. Martinez, second and third, two out, ground out. And that's pretty much your ball game. And whoever this Alex Young is, he comes in. So your guy came in and pitched a couple of good innings. The guy who gave up the home run the other day. What's his name? Whatever. The new reliever.
Oh, Stanek?
No. The new
Which
Matt reliever.
Which new one? We got a ton of new relievers. Oh, well, Bombazon or whatever his name is.
Whatever he is.
Right.
Yeah, he pitched a couple good innings last night.
The Marlins.
Correct. He was okay last night, but then Young gives out. And then the Mets did nothing in the ninth inning. And that's it. And it's one of those games like Al always talks about these West Coast trips. You go to bed, you wake up, the game's over. Did it really happen?
Right.
Yeah, it happened in front of very few fans against a crappy team. And you've got the Padres continue to win. The Diamondbacks continue to win. And you've got the Braves sliding now. All of a sudden, guess who you're chasing for the third spot? The Braves.
Unbelievable.
And these are games, I agree with you. Go 5-5.
5-5.
6-4 is what I thought.
Right.
5-5 you'll take. The problem
Absolutely.
Is you're not going to make up any ground, and you've got another West Coast trip at the end of the month, and these are the crappy teams that you need to be winning series against.
Yeah. Now, look, I mean, when I saw this road trip, my first thought was 5-5. I got to tell you, right off the top of my head, I said, this team's going to go 5-5. You know
what the problem is with that, Joe?
It's a terrible trip. And anybody, here's the other thing, too, and people get crazy, you know. Anybody beats anybody in baseball. It is baseball. I mean, you know, 162 games. You're gonna lose games to bad teams. I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't disagree with you. But I think if you are what you think you are, you think you're a playoff team, I'm not saying that they... You know, I was listening yesterday to the station a little bit. Maybe it was Brandon. Maybe it was even Tommy. I'm not even sure. Talking about you got to go in and sweep the Rockies. I'm not saying that. But you got to win the series.
But I think,
this is a bad team.
But I think there's another thing at work here, too. And this is my mindset with the Mets this year. I said this to you yesterday. All right, they're 59-54 now. If you would have told me two and a half months ago that I'm going to be sitting here in early August and they're five games over 500, I said, you're out of your mind, okay? I had no expectation level for this team this year, okay? And I understand they go on this crazy streak and they're playing great. Now, all of a sudden, the expectation level has been raised. You know, you gotta. It is what it is. This team is what they are. If they're giving us a season, okay, which we didn't think we were going to get. I thought by this time the team would look completely different than it did 2 months ago.
Agreed,
because they would have got rid of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what I was thinking back in May or whenever it was. You know, but It is what it is. They've given us a season. If they make the playoffs, great. Okay? If they don't make the playoffs, okay, because I didn't expect it anyway. So I'm not sitting here as a Met fan. I know a lot of Met fans. You know, I get a text from Joey and Clark last night. Oh, Severino, you couldn't have him. He sucks. You know, Joey's got to calm down. Joey and Clark looks at the baseball season like it's the NFL. Okay? You can't look at it that way. All right?
But I can look at a series as an NFL.
You could. I mean, you could. But again, I love the Mets. I love my team. I've been with them since day one. But my expectation level for this team.
So it didn't change at all?
No.
Not at all.
No. If they make the playoffs, great. If they don't make the playoffs, get me to kick off on Monday night in San Francisco. I'm serious.
This is just the bridge for you to get the football.
Well, it's not really. But I mean, look, if this was the 86, if this was a team of the 80s, yeah, that's a different story. I mean, you know, we win 90 to 100 games every year, 108 games. Yeah. But nobody thought this team was going to be any good this year. Who's kidding?
Until they were, though.
Okay. But
I mean, honestly.
But they're not dead.
I never said they're dead.
Here's the other thing, too. They have had, since they got on the hot streak, they've really had no protracted losing streaks.
No, they've been a 500 team since the big...
I think they've lost three straight at one point.
Right.
You know, they lost those two in a row in L.A. They come back, they beat St. Louis. You know, like you said, come back and win tonight. Who's pitching? Blackburn tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. Come back and win tonight. Win the series. That would be great. But I'm telling you, just get through this road trip at 5-5. That's all I look at.
Which is what I was about to say, and that's not easy now.
No, because Seattle's a good team. Yeah. Seattle's good. No,
if you told me you started this road trip by losing 2 out of 3 in Seattle, okay, fine.
Right.
5-5, and again, to me, I thought 6-4 because of the way the teams are now playing around you.
Right.
But you're leaving the toughest part of the trip at the end. I mean, you've put yourself in a situation where, you know, if you get last night, and I know every game's different, and they could crush the Rockies now tonight.
They could.
I totally know. I understand that. But you drop 2 out of 3 in Anaheim. You got these stupid games here with Seattle staring you in the face. All I'm saying is, to me, I'm actually surprised you have that take, knowing you as long as I do, just because things and circumstances change. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there. I never thought they were a great team, but they are kind of what I thought they'd be.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, when you put yourself in the conversation and you've got teams like Colorado coming up with the big hits and you haven't, and you continue not to, I'll go back to what I said. I don't know what they are. Maybe this is exactly what they are. They're 500.
Well, this team is not, let's be honest, this team has not hit since the All-Star break.
Not at all.
They got a winning record since the All-Star break. What are they, 10-8? I think they're 10-8.
But it's not been, I agree with you. It's not been consistent.
And the big guys aren't hitting. I mean, let's be honest about it. You know,
Nimmo was good last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he has not hit. He was the best player on the team going into the All-Star break. He hasn't been that same guy.
Right.
Right? Alonso's been a disaster. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, say whatever you want about Pete. Pete is not having a good year. He never gets a big hit. He's batting under 200 with runners in scoring position. Even JD, as good as he's been at times, you know, there's too many games I'm watching. He's flailing at pitches 5 feet outside. He's swinging at these pitches in the dirt. You know, I mean, that's, you know, Vientos has been great. He hasn't really hit lately either. You know, you're getting big hits from Tyrone Taylor and Harrison Bader. I mean, Iglesias. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Alvarez hasn't hit at all.
Nope.
He's got 5 home runs. He had 26 or whatever home runs last year. I mean, so, you know, this is, and the rotation.
They're streaky. They're very streaky.
And the rotation has been okay. It's been okay.
Yeah.
Is it terrible?
They give you a chance.
You know, Minaya has been phenomenal, right? Obviously, Severino is not pitching well right now. Maybe he's hit a wall. I don't know. You know, Quintana's actually been pretty good. He wasn't great his last time out, but he's been okay. You know, so the rotation, Peterson's pitched better than I thought he would, to be honest
with
you.
The rotation is not going to dominate anybody, but they'll give you a chance to win. And even Severino last night, now he wasn't good, but he also wasn't a complete disaster last night either. I mean, 5 runs in Colorado is not, you wouldn't think, something you can't overcome, especially there. Especially when you look at the home run that Cave hit last night. I don't know if you'll see a highlight of it.
I'm sure they will.
It looks like a pot. And again, there it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
that thing just carries and carries.
And even if you're watching the game, you would have thought it was a pop-up to left field.
Right, yeah. That's what it looked like.
And yet the Mets weren't able to get one of those balls out into the jet stream, and it didn't go anywhere, and they don't hit the home runs last night. But your point is 100% valid. They're not a great starting rotation, but they are good enough to win games.
Yeah, they're okay.
And that's what they've been.
And the bullpen still scares me. You can say whatever you want about the bullpen. It's been
different names.
different names. It still concerns me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if Blackburn can do what he did in Anaheim the other day. Come out tonight, give him a good start.
Showing a rotation place right here. Yes. Thank you so much.
And then you'd like to thank, I know the Orioles lost last night, so just quickly, all of the hysteria about the Yankees. And, you know, I get it because they played like one of the worst teams in baseball for 6 or 7 weeks. You know, you wake up this morning and guess who's first place in the AL East? Yeah. Now, they didn't play. I understand that. They get the half game because of the Orioles losing. But the Orioles have been just, you want to talk about average at best since the Yankees have been bad? The Orioles have been nothing special. And to me, I'll continue to say it. I think when we get to the end of September, the Yankees will have won this division by 4 or 5 games relatively comfortably.
Well, look. One thing I will say, there's no the Yankees are clearly making the playoffs, and even when they were in a down period, you knew they were still making the playoffs. You know, they're playing bad. They're still 15, 16 games over 500.
Built a cushion, though.
Right, right. They're making the playoffs. We know that. And I think the other thing here, there's no team in baseball. I got the cough button.
You
that
did this time, yeah.
There's no team in baseball that really jumps out at you as this great, great team.
But that's it, right? Okay.
I mean, there really is nobody like that.
So right there, for that conversation that you just gave me about the Yankees, about there not being this great, great team, that's the opportunity
for
the Mets have in front of them.
I understand
the way the Diamondbacks had it in front of them last year. The Rangers took hold of it last year. The Phillies a few years ago as a wild card team blew past everybody, including the Mets and the Braves.
Yep.
That's the point.
Yep.
Exactly what you just said.
No, I understand. I understand. But look, again, you know, they're not dead. I mean, they're a game and a half behind the Braves for the final wild card spot.
Atlanta lost two, I believe, last night.
And like they've been treading water pretty much since the All-Star break. And, you know, let's hope that they got another hot streak coming in them. Let's hope they win tonight. Let's hope this guy Blackburn goes out. Let's hope they start to hit. Because to me, that's really what it is.
The
big guys are not hitting consistently for this team.
Been a big difference since they mauled the Yankees with those 14
runs. No question.
Where it seemed like they were hitting batting practice.
But they had that game where they scored, it was against the Twins, they scored 15 runs.
True.
Right? And since then, I mean, really, what have they done? You know?
Not a whole lot.
No.
Not a whole lot. For the Yankees, you get Heel and then Warren, one of these straight doubleheaders. They'll try and get it in. It does look like the weather should hold up today.
Who's pitching?
Heel and Will Warren.
I don't know Will Warren.
Yeah, he's the guy pitching.
Do you know him?
Will?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they're running for the Cy Young.
Oh, seriously?
So what are these new guys? I don't know. Will Warren. He's pitching tonight. I'm going to tell you, his name's not Nestor Cortez or Marcus Stroman.
No, I just never heard of him. That's why I'm bringing it up.
They need to. I saw Clark Schmidt. They need to get him back, too.
Yes.
So he's throwing. He threw to Rizzo yesterday. All right, when we come back, we get Peter Schwartz. And I can't forget today because I forgot yesterday. I got something for Peter later on in the morning. I won't make him wait till he's 90, Eddie. I'm telling you now it's going to be in the 8 o'clock hours.
Maybe Al's going to make it to 112. Peter making it to 90 is questionable.
We'll see. Let's just try to get him to 625 first.
I just hope I make it to 72.
That's not good considering he'll be 71. When we come back, we'll get Peter in. We'll get your calls as well. 888-808-1019. It's Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Wow. And when I hear this song, this is the Marshmallow in New City, New York, where we used to go all the time when I was in college during the summer to go dancing. And the minute the note of this song started, you're out there. Please Go All the Way by the Raspberries. Tremendous. I'm ready to dance now. I'm ready.
I'm surprised you're not.
Well, I'm not. Not yet. It's early.
Coming up on 6:30, Built Ford Tub Studio, Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I will get to next hour a little bit of a rabbit hole I went down yesterday on YouTube in terms of music that we will. And inspired by you, by the way.
I inspired you?
Inspired by you.
I'm glad I could inspire somebody for something.
I will do that probably 7:45 next hour. We will have that conversation. Peter Schwartz is with us. Peter, not as busy a morning as we would have thought because the Yankees didn't play, but still a lot going on.
A little wet stuff derailing the Yankees last night. We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let's lead off in Denver. Mets taking on the Rockies last night.
Blodnik fires. The pitch ripped to the right side. Tolia has it at first. He runs to the bag in time to end the game. The Colorado Rockies have taken game one of this three-game set, a 6-3 final here in Denver.
I'm always curious because I obviously do what you do every day. I'm not picking on you at any. I'm just curious, like, your when you put this together, you go with the final out. Why?
I like playing the final out.
As opposed to the hits that...
Oh, I get to that.
Just wondering.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
No, I know. I'm just curious.
Let me ask you a question. I don't mean to step on you, Jerry, but when you... Like, during football, right?
Yeah.
Do you play the highlight of the one-yard run for the touchdown, or do you play the highlight of the interception return that went to the 10-yard line that set the touchdown up?
I would play the interception return.
Okay. So I would do both.
Okay. I would probably combine and get both of them in the same update. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
But I think in baseball, like, there's like, to me, there's like a certain aura about the last out of the game. And I like playing it.
Yeah. A lot of people do. I was just curious what your thought process was.
I guess every update person is different.
Everybody's different. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I always like playing the final call.
Okay.
I don't like playing it when the team loses, but
you don't care if the Mets lose. I mean, come on.
Well, listen,
I live
with three Met fans, you know?
I heard that. I heard you talking to Al.
Yeah.
So you went, this is incredible to me that I'm listening. Did you hear this?
I didn't.
Okay. So Pete's talking to Al in the warm-up show, and he's saying how he's gone to, I guess, how many of the doubleheaders in two stadiums for Mets Yankees has there been?
I think I've been the three of them.
Is it that many?
I
remember the one with Doc pitch for the Yankees.
One more recently that I didn't go to. But okay. I went to two or three of them.
So here's Pete talking about he's doing a day-night doubleheader. I guess the first game was at Yankee Stadium, right?
The first game.
Was this the game Delgado had the 9 RBIs?
No, the Yankees won both of these games.
Oh, okay.
Right, this was like a 6-game sweep for the Yankees. Okay. This is like 2003, 2002.
So Pete's talking about they go to the game at Yankee Stadium, right? First game at Yankee Stadium. Pete's got his Yankee home jersey on. Mrs. Pete has her Met road jersey on.
Yes.
And then you said you went to like... South Street Seaport.
Right, because we took the Long Island Railroad into the city and then took the ferry to Yankee Stadium. Then the ferry back into the city.
Okay.
There was a mall on the South Street Seaport.
Right.
So we went to our respective bathrooms and switched.
When he says he switched, he puts, so now they go into Shea Stadium at Citi Field, right?
Shea Stadium.
So now your wife switches to the Met home jersey.
Yeah.
And you switch to the Yankee road jersey.
Road jersey, yes.
I mean, that's...
Yeah. I have a serious question for Alan. I heard you talk about the naming rights, all right, and how much they would cost at King University. If I could get you naming rights at that football, which I can't, would you do a Schwartz doubleheader road trip like that?
What is this now? Where?
So Pitbull is paying to have one of these stadiums named after him.
Pitbull.
It's a lot of money.
Florida International.
Okay. Al said he would like to have where he went, Kane University, to have the football stadium named after him. He wondered what the naming rights would cost.
Right.
I'm saying forget money. Would you do a Schwartz split doubleheader day if you could get the naming rights for a year for free?
No, probably not. That sounds like a nightmare of a day.
And he means it. He wouldn't do it. I didn't think so. I like doing things. That even sounds problematic to me.
Yeah. Mm.
That sounds
stressful. You really want something named after you at Kane University, Al?
Yeah. I just thought it'd be fun to have a nice stadium named after me.
Yeah, well.
I almost felt bad for my wife that day. The Yankees won the first game easy in the Bronx.
How did you marry a woman that's a Met fan?
Because I fell in love with her.
No, but I understand. But I mean, there was not that it would matter to me either.
What is there, an interview process?
No, but not. Because I know guys, I swear to God, I know guys that would not, you know, date a woman if she rooted for a team that they, you know, that was their polar opposite.
Well, we had to come to a compromise. When she was pregnant with Bradley,
okay,
we had to come to a compromise.
Right.
Because she was Mets Rangers.
Right.
And I was Islanders.
No, not only is she's a Ranger fan.
We're
too.
Both Jet fans, though.
No,
that was easy.
Well,
that was
God
easy.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
So she's pregnant with Bradley.
Right.
She gives me the first draft pick. She says, all right, for the other teams. So as I said,
mean she gives you the first draft pick?
She gave me the first draft pick because we have to determine what fandom the kids are going to have.
Well, hold on. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't the kid have to make that decision?
No, no. The law was laid down.
Okay.
So right. I got the first pick.
All right.
So I don't hate the Mets.
Okay.
But I would sooner. I said this on the.
You do hate the Rangers, though.
I do.
Okay.
So when I was working at the other sports radio station in New York,
right,
I went on the air after this all happened.
Don't mention
and I said,
name.
Right. I said, I would sooner stick a needle in my eye than watch my child put a Ranger jersey on.
Okay.
So I said, I got the Islanders. She's got the Mets. The kids are color coordinated. Everything is fine.
So you
fine.
Got two Everybody's kids. Happy. One is a Met Ranger fan.
No. They're both Mets, Islanders, Jets.
Oh, I see.
Right. So for the kids, I got the Islanders.
So you good? I get it now. Now I understand.
We're all Jets fans.
Right. That works.
Me and the boys are Islander fans, and Cheryl and the boys are Met fans.
Right.
Would you? I'm serious with
that. That's crazy.
I'm dead serious about this question. If you had an opportunity to be the Rangers play-by-play announcer, would you actually... You just said you hate them and you'd rather jam a needle in your eye.
Yes.
Would you turn that down?
I wouldn't turn it down.
Howie took the Islander job.
I'm well aware, but I'm sitting next to a guy who talked about his hatred for a team and he'd rather jam a needle in his eye than watch them.
I worked at the other station, I had to do Rangers pre- and post-game shows.
I've never had to make a decision like that because, I would never want put in that position. No, I
happens all the time.
I understand that.
I won't mention their names.
No,
but there's
I know
a lot
so many
of guys
people.
That
I know
do
the
games
people.
For teams that they grew
I know
up hating.
Oh yeah,
and that, my friends, will bury the New York Islanders.
There it is. The great Howie.
Did you ever
awful.
See Howie?
That was terrible.
At the video of Howie and Mike Francesa the night after the Rangers won the Stanley Cup.
No.
You ever saw that? Live from the play-by-play.
Live from the play-by-play.
Yes. No, I didn't see it.
I think Howie had too much champagne.
Oh, too much. Oh, my God.
It's pretty good.
Howie was buzzed. Howie was buzzed.
Oh, S-face.
And, of course, Mike, who was a massive Ranger fan, you know?
Oh, yes.
Was he? I don't know. Was he?
No.
I have no idea.
No, Mike would probably never talk hockey. Let's be honest about it. Never talk hockey. And then the Rangers are in the playoffs, and there's Mike. He's behind the glass, basically holding hands with Dolan, you know? I mean, come on.
I don't think the Rangers...
Am I right about that?
Absolutely. But I don't think the Rangers would ever offer me their radio play-by-play job because I've been so outspoken of my hatred to them.
So right,
I don't think that would...
You literally... Not that you're getting the job anytime soon because I don't think...
But I would have the discussion...
You pretty much alienated yourself from even that opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Would you do the Devils play-by-play?
Yes.
You would.
Absolutely. I have no real hatred
you don't really
towards
hate
them.
See, I hate the Devils more than the Islanders. I can't stand the Devils. Martin Brodeur, I want to throw
there, out. There was one night I was covering a Rangers
Sean
game.
Avery was like, oh, that was great.
I was covering a Rangers game
right.
at the Garden.
Right.
And we're in the locker room afterward and we're just waiting. I think we're waiting for Lundqvist to come out.
Right.
And I just kind of staring off into space, standing
in
the middle.
Is it an Islander Ranger game?
No, it was just a Ranger. I was doing some stringing work. Like the radio guys all do stringing work.
Right.
And I'm standing in the Rangers locker room, and I didn't even realize where I was standing. And I'm kind of like, looking up into space. We're waiting.
Did
for
you have
Lundqvist.
Like a Brian Trottier jersey on?
No. No. Come on. A little sense
you.
Of professionalism.
Okay, it was
Joe.
Mike Bossy.
So I'm standing. Dennis Potvin.
Right.
No, so I'm standing in the middle of the Rangers locker room, and I'm not realizing what I'm standing on. One of the Rangers equipment managers comes running in. What are you doing? You cannot be standing on the Rangers logo. Are you crazy? What's wrong with you?
You couldn't stand on a logo.
I was standing on the Rangers logo.
Well, you can't do that.
And I looked at the guy and I said, if I knew it was a problem, I would have worn cleats with metal spikes in them.
And what did he say?
He didn't like that.
Wow.
I really didn't know where it was.
Very interesting stuff, though.
Yeah.
It's the stuff about you and your wife switching jerseys for the home and away. That's a little much, I have to say.
Well, you have to be color coordinated.
Do I
have any more time left for the update?
I'm begging you to do something else.
Okay.
I'm sorry. This is my fault.
By the way, After that final out, that was Keith Radd on WCBS 880. Luis Severino gave up 5 runs, 4 earned, and 8 hits over 5 innings. It was a rough night for Seve at Coors Field.
Yeah, this is sometimes really tough to pitch here. I mean, I have to tip my hat to Marquez and Freeland, who, has some good years here. It's unbelievable.
So Brandon Nimmo went 2-for-4 with an RBI, and the Mets and Rockies again tonight. Yankees and Angels washed out at Yankee Stadium. They'll have a single admission doubleheader today starting at 4:05. And without playing, The Yankees moved into sole possession of first place in the American League East.
Here's the 1-1 pitch. And he gets under it again. Sends it on a ride to left field, and it's gone! Alejandro Kirk with a three-run shot to give the Blue Jays a 3-1 lead.
Blue Jays radio, the call there. Blue Jays over the Orioles 5-2. The Yankees take a half-game lead over the Orioles in the AL East. Now to Oakland, where the blind squirrel finally found the nut.
He's hitting eighth tonight. And he swings. It's a towering pop fly, shallow left, and it'll be Benintendi to make the catch. And it's finally over.
Oh, here it
the
is.
White Sox 21-game losing streak.
I gotta see,
is
they celebrate?
History.
I mean,
they beat the A's tonight. 5-1.
I White certainly Sox hope they radio. Celebrated. My God,
yeah, some smiles.
Oh yeah, they didn't like jump on each other, though, right?
No, nothing crazy. No, I think it's more relief that they can. They actually had more fans at this game than they had the first game. They had almost 6,000.
The White,
yeah,
you know, when
big
I
crowd
think
for Oakland.
When I think of like the original teams in Major League Baseball when I was growing up, okay, when there was, I think it was 8 teams in each league when I started watching baseball. The White Sox are one of the worst, maybe the worst original baseball team of any of them. They're right up there. I know they won the World Series. Was it 05? They won the World Series?
Yeah.
Okay. Right? They swept Houston and all that.
A lot more bad seasons
than
good.
Oh, my God. Before that, they hadn't won a pennant since 1959. They lost that series to the Dodgers. I mean, they have been bad.
Yeah.
Right? Can you think of an original team that's been worse? I really can't.
I'm sure I could if I thought about it.
You have to look it up, but yeah, they're pretty bad.
And the Washington Senators don't count.
Fair enough.
Okay. There's a couple other things. In Arlington, the Astros, Framber Valdez, one out away from a no-hitter. Corey Seager hit a two-run homer to spoil
Doesn't
the no-no.
Doesn't he have one already, Framber?
Yeah, I
he
was
did
there.
This year and one last year. Okay, right. Who has that one this year?
Yep. Oh, wait, he's got two coming in?
He had one last year and one earlier this year.
So he has two
in
his career.
He had one in April.
That's what I'm saying. So he has two in his career. That. Two in his career.
Yeah.
Okay.
And almost got him, was one out away last night.
Not a lot of guys have three, I'll tell you that. Three is a big deal.
Rarefied air, he was almost there.
Yeah.
And we'll close with this. It's the reason why I'm wearing the T-shirt today. Knicks naming Jalen Brunson as the 36th captain in franchise history.
36?
What? It's very special.
No, but I didn't realize they had 30. The only captain I ever remember for the Knicks is Willis. I mean, outside of that, they've had 30.
Can you tell me who the last one was before Jalen Brunson?
Wow.
Julius Randle.
No.
I don't know.
How long ago? Were they good or were they terrible?
This was not a good time for the Knicks.
No?
I don't think that year was good.
Well, give me the year.
2018-19.
No, wasn't good.
No, wasn't good.
2000.
And they had a captain.
And he had a captain?
Yeah.
2018-19?
Yeah. I couldn't believe this guy was named the Knicks captain.
This is a bad team, man.
Bad team.
2018-19, man. I'm telling you. Again, who is it?
Lance Thomas.
Wow.
What? What? Lance Thomas.
Was Knicks captain.
Like, who is the last Knick captain?
Like, you go on the wall outside in the hallway in between here and 10 wins.
Now,
we have all those.
I'm a Knick fan since, like, 1962. You know, I go back to, like, Richie Guerin and Johnny Green. You know, I go way to hell back, okay? I didn't even know they had a captain besides Reed.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
36 of them.
Oh, 36.
Ewing and Oakley were co-captains.
The Yankees haven't had 36 captains.
But you go out.
Have the Rangers had 36 captains?
I don't think so.
What?
But if you go out in the hallway out here in between here and 10 wins, we have those great sports pictures that are up on the wall.
Yeah, it's great.
And there's a picture right next to each other of Willis Reed and Patrick Ewing. We have to put Lance Thomas right next to it.
Oh, yeah, they're right in the same category. Lance is right up there with those guys.
All right, people, we'll see you next hour. Good job. 641.
Sorry I messed it up for you, Dave.
It is the, all good, the Boomer and Geo program, Joe and Jerry with you. When we come back, a little bit more on that Framber Valdez near no-hitter last night.
What?
Also something with Peter, and we'll get to the Fighting Giants and the Fighting Jets coming up at 7 o'clock
Lance
as well.
Thomas.
Don't go anywhere on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
My first exposure ever to Michael Jackson.
That's a weird
tremendous
comment.
What?
What's that?
That's a weird comment?
Well
I understand why, but I mean, it's the first time the Jackson 5, I Want You Back. It's the first, I'm a junior in high school. It's probably like 1970, and it's the first I ever got, of the Jackson 5. So
pretty good. And isn't one of them is still touring? I don't know which one.
Who's that, Jermaine?
It might be Jermaine. Yeah, I think I saw him. I think I saw the board in Atlantic City a few weeks ago. Yes. I mean, you got to make a living, right?
Yeah. Look, I understand the issues with Michael, but he is one of the greats of all time. I mean, there's no disputing.
there's that side of him and there's that side
right.
of him.
That's you take exactly away, right. You know, take away that and, you know, just as far as his career musically, I mean, there's nobody. That when I don't know if you guys have seen, and maybe you guys have seen it, the, what was it, the 25-year anniversary of Motown. You ever see that special?
I believe I did, yes.
Okay, it's probably still out there. It is phenomenal. I mean, everybody's there. Everybody. Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, you know, Smokey. You go right down the line. Everybody, you know, the Temps, the Diana, everybody from the Motown years. And that's where Michael debuts Billie Jean, okay? This is the first time I ever heard Billie Jean. Thriller, I just said, was coming out. And the first time you see him do the moonwalk, oh, my God. Just spectacular. If you get a chance, Al, you into the Motown stuff, Al?
Yes, I did see that special.
You saw it. I mean, it is off the charts. Eddie, you really should see it. Yeah, I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Did you see the documentary on the making of We Are the World?
You know, people have told me about that. I have
it.
Not.
You would love it.
Yeah, no, I know.
Pretty good.
I know. And that's what, Netflix?
I believe so, yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Pretty damn good, actually. Yep. Which we'll get to in a little while, too. Stan in Westport. What's up, Stan?
Stan, my buddy from Saturdays.
Hey guys, good to hear you both.
Are we still in for 88 or what?
It's gonna be tight, Joe, as you probably can figure out by now. We got 49 left, right? Yep, so we have to go 29 and 20, which is getting close to 600. Still a 591 or two or so,
right?
But you know, here's the thing.
I just want to. Can I just stop you for a second, Stan? Because I want Jerry. I want to preface this for Jerry. So Stan calls me every Saturday on the Saturday show. Okay. So back in May, when the Mets were 11 games under 500, Stan calls up and he says the Mets are going to win 88 games. This is when they were like 11 games under.
Yeah.
Right. So I just want to preface that.
Good
so
for you, Stan.
Go ahead, Stan.
Stick to your guns.
Well,
and by the way, can I also preface
Jerry,
one other thing too?
Ahead, Joe.
All right. One other thing.
Yeah.
Stan is a Red Sox fan as well.
Okay.
So I'm just pointing it out.
That's right. But my dream is an 86 rematch so we can, you know, get Mookie's chopper out of our craniums forever.
You won three championships. Hold on. You won four championships since that.
True.
Okay.
True.
Thank
true.
You.
True. But let me just give you my methodology, Jerry. Here's what I said.
Yeah.
I said, look, right now they were much better than 22 and 33 on that bottom that they had, right, on the 29th after the Dodgers series. And I was, like, scratching my head. They're playing 400 ball. I'm like, this team, I went through the roster in detail, and I'm like, they're actually marginally slightly better, in my estimation, albeit, than the 2022 team that won 101 games. And I was like, so if they play under that pace to the end, it's 88 or 89 wins. You see what I'm saying?
I think it's going to be tough to play nine games over the rest of the year. I'm kind of with you.
I think 88 is very possible. 29 and 20 is not that. I mean, you're not talking about going 30 and 10.
No.
So I think it's or whatever, it'd be 35 and 15. I think it's very possible to do. Even at 11 games under 500, so there's a backstory to this with the show that before the season began, I bet the over on the Mets at over 81.5. And when they were falling 8 games under, 9 games under, you know, Boomer and Gio. Boomer was still relatively positive, but she was killing me. Like, you're still sticking with it? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I made the bet. I think talent-wise, kind of like Stan said, this team just won 100 games 2 years ago with a lot of the same games still on it. I thought the pitching would be good enough. So I didn't give up on it either. I didn't think at that point that they could get to 88 or 89, but I still thought 82 was possible. Now with the run, we've seen their down, we've seen their upside. They're somewhere in the middle. I don't think 88's out of the question. I think it's more in line with 85, 86, but you know, we shall see. Who knows? That he sticks with it.
How many you think they're gonna need to 86. Make the 86 is the number.
I think 86 is the number to make the third wild card.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. And then real quick, because you had the Framber Valdez no hitter.
Right, almost.
So it was August 1st last year. I was in Houston watching the Astros. Funny, I don't even remember where they played, but whatever. So we go. Now, I have all these shirts of me and Al. And,
you know, that's pretty interesting ballpark there, too.
Very cool ballpark.
Yeah.
I never wear them locally if I go out. I wear them around the house. I wear them to work, but I don't wear them out. So we go to Texas on this trip last year. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bring a couple of my shirts that I make because I'm in Texas. Why would anybody know what Al and Jerry on a shirt means?
Right, right.
So we get to Minute Maid Park, walk around, really very nice, very cool place. We get to our seats. We're in the front row of not the upper deck, the level behind that, right behind home plate. It was a really good seat, a little high, but it was a really good seat. We sit down. I am not even joking when I say this to you. Within 5 minutes of sitting down, two guys come and sit next to me, say hello. They look at my shirt. He looks at me. He goes, Jerry, listen to you guys every day. What?
Right,
the guys were from, I think they worked for United, and they were there on a stopover for 2 days. They were from New York. I'm in the ballpark of 50,000 people, and I sit next to the two guys that are from New York that watch and listen every day, which was very funny.
Does it bother you? Do people recognize you regularly?
No, it doesn't bother me.
But do they recognize you?
A lot more than I would have ever thought. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. The people are usually very kind. I haven't had the person come up to me and say, hey, you suck.
The only time I have a problem with it
is at dinner.
No. Dinner? Why would I have a problem with it? What am I sitting with people that.
If you're having dinner with your wife.
Oh, I see what you mean. On a Friday night. Now, here's when I have a problem with it. When my wife and I are playing golf, and we get paired with two guys or one guy that knows who I am.
Sure.
Oh, my God. Sometimes it happens a lot, I have to say, more often than you would think. And a lot of times people, maybe they know who I am, but they don't say anything. And then after the round is done, they'll say something.
Sure.
It's great. That's tremendous. Like, I know what you're. But then you get the guys that know who you are and just don't stop. Hole to hole. And all I freaking want to do is play my game, okay? And that's when it annoys me. That's when I get annoyed.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have a loud voice or anyone wouldn't notice.
But you know what I mean.
So if I go back 10 years or so, and this was the CeeLo thing that comes into play.
Right.
And this was the first time that you played with me and CeeLo. We're at Hominy Hill and Colts Neck.
Yes, I know Hominy Hill.
First hole. I swear to God, first hole. CeeLo took forever to hit the ball. Yeah. It was like two practice swings, stand over the ball, step back, pick out a target. And Joe looks at me like, is this guy serious? So we get off the tee. We're walking up the fairway. Now, Joe is on the right side of the fairway. Me and Chris are on the left side. We're probably 50 yards from one another. Chris goes through the routine. And this is the first hole. And all I hear is Joe from the other side. Bro, hit the bleeping ball already. Let's go. And you remember, we get to the second tee. The Rangers are already on us we're a little loud.
Right.
And then he realized it was Joe and everything was fine.
Oh, is that right? I don't remember that.
Yes, absolutely. Right. We finished the first hole. He was waiting for us on the second tee because a couple of guys complained that you were yelling.
Right.
And they could hear you from the 18th hole. But that was, it's
you're
going to get recognized with that voice and face, my friend.
I do remember Lowe, taking forever, but I don't remember the Ranger.
You were yelling
that
at him in the first fairway. Yeah. And I will tell you, ever since that round, he has sped it up.
Good. Well,
and
that's
you
great.
Got him.
I did something. I did a positive, I guess.
And yeah, it was funny. I was there at the Framber Valdez first no hitter, which was kind of cool. It was neat to see because you knew in the, I would say, end of five. There was a noticeable buzz about
it. Starting to feel it.
Oh, 100%. You knew it because he was on. I think he walked one guy, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was one in the second or third inning. But other than that, he was lights out. And then every inning, it was three. I remember saying to one of these, I forget which one of my kids, I'm like, he's through six. Like, this isn't the Mets. Like, these guys get no-hitters.
Right. That's right.
And next thing you know, here we were, and he threw the no-hitter.
Houston's had a lot of them.
They've had a bunch of Nolan Ryans. How many Nolan Ryan have with
Mike Scott.
Yeah.
I don't know how many he had with Houston.
Didn't Verlander have one or two with Houston, too?
Did he have one? I mean, maybe one, because Verlander's got three.
Like he did.
Verlander has three for his career.
I felt like he had two with the Astros. I'll check it during the break. I'm not sure. But yes, Houston's like the land of the no-hitter.
Yeah.
And he almost had his third last night, which is pretty remarkable for sure. All right, we'll turn our attention to the football for a couple of minutes on the other side. We've got a lot more to do, including you, 888-808-1019. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
My first exposure ever to Michael Jackson.
That's a weird
tremendous
comment.
What?
What's that?
That's a weird comment?
Well
I understand why. But I mean, it's the first time the Jackson 5, I Want You Back. It's the first, I'm a junior in high school. It's probably like 1970. And it's the first I ever got, like I said, of the Jackson 5. So
pretty good. And isn't One of them is still touring. I don't know which one.
Who's that, Jermaine?
It might be Jermaine. Yeah, I think I saw him in, I think I saw the board in Atlantic City a few weeks ago. Yes. I mean, you got to make a living, right?
Yeah. Look, I understand the issues with Michael, but he is one of the greats of all time. I mean, there's no disputing.
There's that side of him, and there's that side of him.
That's right. You know, take away that, and, you know, just as far as his career musically, I mean, there's nobody. That when I don't know if you guys have seen, and maybe you guys have seen it, the 25-year anniversary of Motown. You ever see that special?
I believe I did, yes.
Okay, it's probably still out there. It is phenomenal. I mean, everybody's there. Everybody. Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, you know, Smokey. You go right down the line. Everybody, you know, the Temps, the Diana, everybody from the Motown years. And that's where Michael debuts Billie Jean, okay? This is the first time I ever heard Billie Jean. Thriller, I just said, was coming out. And the first time you see him do the moonwalk, oh, my God. Just spectacular. If you get a chance, Al, you into the Motown stuff, Al?
Yes, I did see that special.
You saw it. I mean, it is off the charts. Eddie, you really should see it. Yeah, I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Did you see the documentary on the making of We Are the World?
You know, people have told me about that. I have not.
You would love it.
Yeah, no, I know.
Pretty good.
And that's what, Netflix?
I believe so, yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Pretty damn good, actually. Yep. Which we'll get to in a little while, too. Stan in Westport. What's up, Stan?
Stan, my buddy from Saturdays.
Hey, guys. Good to hear you both.
Are we still in for 88 or what?
It's going to be tight, Joe, as you probably can figure out by now. We got 49 left, right? Yep. So we have to go 29 and 20, which is getting close to 600. Still a 591 or 2 or so.
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing.
Can I just stop you for a second, Stan? Because yeah, I want to preface this for Jerry. So Stan calls me every Saturday on the Saturday show. Okay. So back in May, when the Mets were 11 games under 500, Stan calls up and he says, the Mets are going to win 88 games. This is when they were like 11 games under.
Yeah.
Right? So I just want to preface that.
Good for you, Stan.
Go ahead, Stan.
Stick to your guns.
Well,
and by the way, can I also preface one other thing?
Go ahead, Joe.
All right? One other thing?
Yeah.
Stan is a Red Sox fan as well.
Okay.
So I'm just pointing it out.
That's right. But my dream is an 86 rematch so we can, you know, get Mookie's chopper out of our craniums forever.
You won four championships since that.
True. But let me just give you my methodology, Jerry. Here's what I said. Yeah. I said, look, right now, they were much better than 22 and 33 on that bottom that they had, right? On the 29th after the Dodgers series. And I was like scratching my head. They're playing 400 ball. I'm like, this team, I went through the roster in detail and I'm like, they're actually marginally slightly better in my estimation, albeit, than the 2022 team that won 101 games. And I was like, so if they play under that pace to the end, it's 88 or 89 wins. You see what I'm saying?
I think it's going to be tough to play nine games over the rest of the year. I don't think it will. Stan, I'm kind of with you.
I think it's 88 not is very possible. 29 and 20 is not that. I mean, you're not talking about going 30 and 10.
No.
So I think it's probably whatever it'd be 35 and 15. I think it's very possible to do. Even at 11 games under 500, so there's a backstory to this with the show that before the season began, I bet the over on the Mets at over 81.5. And when they were falling 8 games under, 9 games under, you know, Boomer and Gio. Boomer was still relatively positive, but she was killing me. Like, you're still sticking with it? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I made the bet. I think talent-wise, kind of like Stan said, this team just won 100 games 2 years ago with a lot of the same games still on it. I thought the pitching would be good enough. So I didn't give up on it either. I didn't think at that point that they could get to 88 or 89, but I still thought 82 was possible. Now with the run, we've seen their down, we've seen their upside. They're somewhere in the middle. I don't think 88's out of the question. I think it's more in line with 85, 86, but you know, we shall see. Who knows? That he sticks with it.
How many you think they're gonna need to 86. Make the 86 is the number.
I think 86 is the number to make the third wild card.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. And then real quick, because you had the Framber Valdez no hitter.
Right. Almost.
So it was August 1st last year. I was in Houston watching the Astros. Funny, I don't even remember where they played, but whatever. So we go. Now, I have all these shirts of me and Al. And,
you know, that's pretty interesting ballpark there, too.
Very cool ballpark.
Yeah.
I never wear them locally if I go out. I wear them around the house. I wear them to work, but I don't wear them out. So we go to Texas on this trip last year. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bring a couple of my shirts that I make because I'm in Texas. Why would anybody know what Al and Jerry on a shirt means?
Right, right.
So we get to Minute Maid Park, walk around. Really very nice, very cool place. We get to our seats. We're in the front row of the, not the upper deck, the level behind that, right behind home plate. It was a really good seat, a little high, but it was a really good seat. We sit down. I am not even joking when I say this to you. Within 5 minutes of sitting down, two guys come and sit next to me, say hello. They look at my shirt. He looks at me. He goes, Jerry, listen to you guys every day. What?
Right, right.
The guys were from, I think they worked for United, and they were there on like a stopover for 2 days. They were from New York. I'm in a ballpark of 50,000 people, and I sit next to the two guys that are from New York that watch and listen every day, which was very funny.
Does it bother you? Do people recognize you regularly?
No, it doesn't bother me.
But do they recognize you?
A lot more than I would have ever thought. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. The people are usually very kind. I haven't had the person come up to me and say, hey, you suck.
The only time I have a problem with it
is at dinner.
No. Dinner? Why would I have a problem with it? What, am I sitting with people that...
If you're having dinner with your wife.
Oh, I see what you mean. On a Friday night. Now, here's when I have a problem with it. When my wife and I are playing golf, and we get paired with two guys or one guy that knows who I am.
Sure.
Oh, my God. I mean, and sometimes it happens a lot, I have to say, more often than you would think. And a lot of times people, maybe they know who I am, but they don't say anything. And then after the round is done, they'll say something.
Sure.
It's great. That's tremendous. Like, I know what you're... But then you get the guys that know who you are and just don't stop. Hole to hole. And all I want to do, all I freaking want to do is play my game, okay? And that's when it annoys me. That's when I get annoyed.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have a loud voice or anyone wouldn't notice.
But you know what I mean.
So if I go back 10 years or so, and this was the CeeLo thing that comes into play.
Right, right.
And this was the first time that you played with me and CeeLo. We're at Hominy Hill and Colts Neck.
Yes, I know Hominy Hill.
First hole. I swear to God, first hole. CeeLo took forever to hit the ball. Yeah. It was like two practice swings, stand over the ball, step back, pick out a target. And Joe looks at me like, is this guy serious? So we get off the tee. We're walking up the fairway. Now, Joe is on the right side of the fairway. Me and Chris are on the left side. We're probably 50 yards from one another. Chris goes through the routine. And this is the first hole. And all I hear is Joe from the other side. Bro, hit the bleeping ball already. Let's go. And you remember, we get to the second tee. The Rangers are already on us we're a little loud.
Right.
And then he realized it was Joe, and everything was fine.
Oh, is that right? I don't remember that.
Yes, absolutely. We finished the first hole. He was waiting for us on the second tee because a couple of guys complained that you were yelling.
Right.
And they could hear you from the 18th hole. But that was, it's
you're
going to get recognized with that voice and face, my friend.
I do remember Lowe, taking forever, but I don't remember the Rangers.
You were yelling
at
him in the first fairway. Yeah. And I will tell you, ever since that round, he has sped it up.
Good. Well,
and
that's
you
great.
Got him moving.
I did something,
a lot better.
I did a positive, I guess.
Anyhow, it was funny. I was there at the Framber Valdez first no hitter, which was kind of cool. It was neat to see because you knew in the, I would say, end of five. There was a noticeable buzz about
it. Starting to feel it.
Oh, 100%. You knew it because he was on. I think he walked one guy, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was one in the second or third inning. But other than that, he was lights out. And then every inning, it was three. I remember saying to one of these, I forget which one of my kids, I'm like, he's through six. Like, this isn't the Mets. Like, these guys get no-hitters.
Right. That's right.
And next thing you know, here we were, and he threw the no-hitter. And
Houston's had a lot of them.
They've had a bunch of Nolan Ryans. How many Nolan Ryan have with Houston?
Mike Scott.
Yeah.
I don't know how many he had with Houston.
Didn't Verlander have one or two with Houston, too?
Did he have one? I mean, maybe one, because Verlander's got three.
He did.
Verlander has three for his career.
I felt like he had two with the Astros. I'll check it during the break. I'm not sure. But yes, Houston's like the land of the no-hitter.
Yeah.
And he almost had his third last night, which is pretty remarkable for sure. All right, we'll turn our attention to the football for a couple of minutes on the other side. We've got a lot more to do, including you, 888-808-1019. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.